Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and agents from around the South, although we are a little outside of the South with our guests today. But y'all, I'd like to welcome my friend and Bay Area, California realtor and TikTok superstar, Roland Osage, to the podcast. Roland, welcome, my brother. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Jamie. I'm doing good, man. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, man, for sure. So I want to get a little bit of your backstory, brother, and jump into some really good stuff. So tell us how you got into the real estate first, and let's get some of your other great, amazing things that you're doing on TikTok and all the other platforms after that, man. So start off by telling us how you got into the real estate business, man. Give us the backstory.
So my past kind of career, I was actually a barber, and I was always, you know, just within my professions and various jobs that I worked, you know, kind of get into my 20s, I was always really diligent with saving money. So I actually bought my first home at 19 with my brother, kind of a funny scenario. So it was my aunt's home, but it was foreclosing on her. This was about 2010, 2011. So we got the loan modified, fixed up the house to make it livable, and kind of took over the payments of it. So we were pretty lucky in that sense where we didn't have to have a huge down payment. I think we both had to put in about $10,000 each to make it work, you know, as far as the repairs and modifying the loan and all that stuff. So that's kind of really how I got my start into it, is just owning a home at a really young age and then seeing the appreciation that came along with it when we really didn't do anything to it, right? From there, that same lady that modified our loan got into flipping houses. So I was still saving my money after that and kind of linked up with her and was like, hey, I really want to learn what you do. Started shadowing her. I invested with her on a first flip, then did one with her, then did one on my own. Actually just picked up another flip this year that I'm closing on Wednesday. So I still kind of do it, you know, just when deals come across. But that's how I got started just in the real estate world, was through flipping. And then I really got my license because there was so much terminology that I didn't understand whatsoever. So I really just got my license. I didn't have plans to be like a real estate agent. It was more so like, hey, this will help me kind of fast track to understand everything. And then I can buy my own homes, right? Waive my commission, sell my own homes, you know, things like that. And then I helped a friend buy and was kind of in a weird lull where I was trying to kind of get out of the industry that I was in. And then so I kind of just went into it, almost fell into it in a sense. And now we're here 8 years later.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit about the areas that you serve too, just so that we can kind of get where you're located.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Bay Area is an easy way to say it. Bay Area as a whole, there's 9 counties total. I specifically work the East Bay Area, which is two to three of those 9 counties. So Contra Costa County, Alameda County, and Solano County are the areas I work. So those are all east of San Francisco. So really the closest city to me that people would know is Oakland. So born and raised out here in the East Bay Area, really a lot of tech out here, a lot of healthcare, finance, AI, all that stuff that's kind of common within that Bay Area market, Silicon Valley, Facebook, Instagram, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, our demographic is definitely higher price point. You know, our average price point's probably just right around $1 million. The further east you go or the further north you go, you're going to get homes in your, you know, anywhere from 700s to millions, of course, and you can even go higher in some of the East Bay areas. But it all depends. You know, schools out here drive a lot of prices and competition, and of course the job market too. So the closer you are to the jobs, the more expensive prices are going to go. Further east, the least expensive they're going to go. A lot of people will migrate out here from San Francisco, from Silicon Valley, to get a little bit more home for the price point, get into better schools if that's what they want. You know, a lot of the times in some of the more suburban areas, or excuse me, urban areas, they have to send their kids to private school. So if they can come out here, if they can work from office only 2 or 3 days a week, they can come over here, have great public schools, knock out that private school payment, get a bigger home, so on and so forth.
Gotcha. Yeah. So talk to us a little bit more. When did the TikTok thing come along, man? And how did that enter your business, man? Tell us a little bit about how that got started so we can kind of get our minds wrapped around that whole deal.
About 2021 to 2022 and some of 2023, I want to say. I owned a video marketing company that serviced real estate agents. So I always had just a very key, like good grip on, you know, real estate marketing and trying to help other agents with that and things of that sort, all while I was still, you know, licensed and practicing and all that. It really came in 2023. I just had my first daughter. Obviously, the 2023 market was super tough. You know, we just came from super low interest rates. Things came to kind of a screeching halt. Some people had some good years, some people had some bad years. But me specifically, having, you know, my daughter, of course, those of us who have kids, you know that when we have that first kid, it's so time consuming. You know, you just really don't know what to expect. So combine a bad market with having my first child, I was really just not doing enough business. Realized I wasn't promoting myself nearly enough. I was reading this book from Alex Ramosi called $100 Million Leads because that was the big thing I'd struggled with in my business. You know, it wasn't like once I had a client, the process was great, but it was more so I just needed more business. So when I read that book, there was one part of it that really stuck with me. And he said that every single business needs to have an undeniable offer. And I sat on that for a good week because I just like was trying to come up with different ideas of like what my undeniable offer could be as a real estate agent when there was so much competition amongst real estate agents in the Bay Area. I really just came to the conclusion. I was like, man, why am I not showing like homes through video? They don't have to be my listings. They don't have to be within my brokerage. There's so many cool homes out here in the Bay Area that need to be highlighted and nobody was doing it. So how TikTok specifically came about is I one day went on TikTok. I was already using TikTok just in a different format. And I searched Bay Area real estate agent. And there, when I searched that, there was absolutely like no competition on TikTok. Whereas opposed you go to Instagram or YouTube, you search Bay Area real estate agent, you're going to get hundreds upon hundreds of real estate agents, you know, that you're quote unquote competing with. So I basically just knew exactly what I was going to do. I was going to do home tours of super unique homes in kind of a different format where I didn't need to like show my face per se. Like at the time, what was really, really popular is a lot of agents that would start off with their face, you know, kind of a selfie style, right, then get into the house. I obviously had seen people doing home tours, but I was like, I don't want to do that because I feel like there's just so many people doing that. And the more people see that, the more maybe they're inclined to kind of skip over it. So I just started off with the house, right? Just kind of my own hook. And then really just the visual hook being the attractive or unique house. And then it kind of just went from there and you kind of just modify and tweak your system and your process and make it as easy as possible on yourself. And, you know, add a little over 255,000 followers today in a little over 2 years.
Let's go, dude. That's awesome, man. So everything you're shooting, man, is vertical, right? They're vertical home tours, right? And tell us a little bit about the length of those things, right? Because everybody thinks TikTok and they think, oh, it's some little short thing. That's some crazy hook and somebody dancing on video. But you guys are doing a little bit different process, both in the shooting visual aspects of it, but also the length of these things. So go there so that our audience can kind of see what you're doing from that end of things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So what we like to call it is mid-form content. You know, it's anywhere from about 2 all the way up to 10 minutes. So not your technically not long form, not like YouTube style, 15, 20 minutes or anything like that. I think we kind of hit a perfect storm when we started doing it because TikTok has been all these social media platforms. Obviously, they all want to compete with each other. They all want to be the most dominant platform amongst each other. So TikTok was really competing with, I think, YouTube more than anything because they are very interest-based, but they also wanted to be SEO-based. So they rolled out the 10-minute videos on TikTok. TikTok, when they first started, it was like 15 seconds was the most you could post.
Right.
Then they went up to 1 minute, then they went up to 3 minutes, then 5 minutes and 10 minutes. So we started posting, or I started posting really like these longer form videos because at the time, Instagram was kind of dominating. And the most you could post on Instagram was 1 minute, I think, or maybe even at that time, it was like 30 seconds. So people were used to these really like quick tours and you had to make them so quick and everybody's like, oh, short form content. So I think like when people saw these tours on TikTok, it just kind of allowed things to slow down a little bit and just have a different experience. So it was just something like so different that they weren't like as used to on another platform. And TikTok was just dominating. You know, their algorithm is super powerful. But yeah, it's really just like, it's almost like a buyer is there with you in a sense. You kind of just go throughout the flow of the house, however you want to go throughout it. We do a voiceover after the fact, after the home tour. You know, it's pretty simple to kind of batch it at the end of the day, because what we do is we'll do about 6 or 7 once a week. For me specifically, leave my house by about 9, get back by about 1 p.m. and then I'll do one voiceover per day. Usually sometimes I'll do two voiceovers per day, so that way I don't have to do it over the weekend. And it's really simple stuff because you're kind of just talking about what you know. You know, of course, we pull up the MLS and we kind of get some more information about the property. But at the end of the day, you're really just kind of selling the property how you would if a buyer was right there with you.
Love that, dude. So you guys are filming the video and then you're muting the audio of the video and then you're going back and laying over audio.
So I actually don't even mute the audio because I think it's cool to have some of those like creaks in the floors or like doors gotcha. Closing. For a while there, people thought I was doing those voiceovers in like real time. Yeah. And it's not like that's not like something I was trying to hide, you know, that I was doing a voiceover after the fact. You know, people who are more in tune with social media could tell that that's what I was doing, but some that were like a little less in tune, they're like, dude, how do you say all that like within one? It's like there would be right. absolutely no way possible I could have that much information and do all that, you know, in real time, unless I was just really good at memorization or something like that. But I'd also get like super out of breath, you know what I mean? Or like yeah, have to take sure. a break or something. But what's cool is the editing is very minimal. So, you know, when you're just doing a walkthrough tour like that, you're able to get, you know, just walk through it at your own pace. Like I said, depending on the size of the home, anywhere from three, if you have a massive home, I can think of the longest video I've ever done on there is about 10 minutes, you know, right up to the end. But yeah, so voiceover after, all done on my phone. Really minimal editing, so it's all CapCut uploaded, voiceover on CapCut, just a little plug-in microphone to the iPhone, kind of just like the new age of what these platforms like. It's like the same reason why I think streaming is so popular is people just really want to see something that's kind of more real, more raw, and not so like polished, where the whole real estate industry, that's kind of what it was always like. You know, you pay a videographer a good amount of money, you memorize a script, you do all these things, everything's got to look like picture perfect. But the algorithms and the platforms are changing.
Yeah, I love that. And it seems like they're rewarding more and more this authentic content versus the highly produced stuff, right? So I would bet your video just with your iPhone walking through a home is going to probably outperform another agent in your same market with an unbelievably well-produced video.
Yeah, and I've seen the latter. I mean, obviously we have so many people throughout our brokerage that do so much different stuff. I mean, you see Brad McCollum and all his stuff is extremely polished. So I think yes and no. I think at the end of the day, it just depends on the content. It's really weird in the sense of what's going to go viral, I think, at the end of the day, because it can be at random. You know, I've seen people who do great content that don't get as much engagement as they should. And I think it really just depends on the content and how it's received by the people consuming the content.
What's most important to you when you're thinking about putting this thing together, right? Selecting the home, what you say during the walkthrough. What's most important to you when you're trying to put together this thing? How are you picking the houses, all that stuff, man? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'd say if I'm going to put it in order, the most important thing is picking the house. That's going to get you to the fastest, I think, result that you're looking for. Because if I were to, you know, because I've built a following, if I were to do some shittier homes now, I could still probably get a good amount of traction, but right. people maybe wouldn't want to tune in as much, you know. But if I started from the jump, it just would have been, I would have been kind of in an uphill battle. But then again, it's like, that's kind of why I say it's the latter, because there's some guys further east in my market, like market that I don't really work, where like their price points, like 500 to 600, 400 to 500, things like that, just less desirable areas for whatever reason. And they're getting great traction, you know, with kind of the same style. You know, I think it's really the latter, but for me, the most interesting home first. Secondly, it is the voiceover aspect, right? So you're adding that, the video component and then the audio component. So you have two things at once. It's kind of like mutually stimulating, which is like in the social media world that we're in, there's different examples that we've had. Like when it comes to this, if you've ever been looking at a piece of content and it's maybe a podcast, one screen on top is the podcast, one screen below is like a video game playing. Right. And the reason why those do good is because it's like it's visually and auditorily stimulating. I think those two are the most important things. But also when it comes to the audio aspect, it's really about highlighting neighborhood, knowing about the home, talking about the home, doing a quick Google search if you need to, but also engaging with the client, like, or the consumer, because there's so many times where I don't know something within home. I don't know what something's called. And I'll say like, hey, I don't really know what this is. TikTok, help me out. What is this thing right here? And then you'll get those comments. You kind of drive that engagement, which I think us as real estate professionals, we always want to act like we know everything, right? Even if we don't, which I've been in that situation before. You don't want to look like an idiot. So you'd kind of like agree with something or, you know, assume something is something, even if it's not, or if you haven't fact checked it. Where I think if you're more transparent about not knowing something, it even can build trust even more.
I actually like that idea a lot, man.
Yeah.
Kind of almost making it be like, oh man, I'm not sure what this is. Anybody know what that is?
Exactly.
And then it'll drive people to just be like, man, Roland, I can't believe you didn't know what that was. That's a blank, you know, or whatever. even if you really probably know what it is, it's just like, hey man, like, let me just tease the algorithm a little bit and see if I can get some engagement right here on that video.
Exactly.
So talk to us a little bit about how you are lining up all of these appointments, man. I know you had mentioned like they're not all your listings, but how are you setting all these appointments up? Are you doing them all the same day? Are you doing them multiple days? Like, what's your week look like process-wise?
Yeah, so everyone's a little bit different. We like to do this where we don't want to go on a broker's tour day. You know, I like to have the home to myself, so there's no distractions. There's no people talking in the video, asking me questions while I'm doing it, things like that. So the way I do it to avoid all broker's tours within our area is every Tuesday, we'll go out and do those tours. Every Monday, I'll set those appointments. So I'll just go on the MLS, look at all the new listings that I've hit in the areas that I want to highlight, fish through about usually 80 to 100 listings. Pretty simple for me to kind of know which ones are going to be good or not, almost from that first front picture. So go through those, and then I have just a text template that I send out and just copy and paste it, you know, to each agent, and then obviously put their name and the address in it to what suits them, send that text message out. You know, if a lot of the times, because we've done so many of these, we know what some agents that are just like, go ahead and go do it. Some agents that we don't know, you know, that may have the listing. So asking their permission for those, sometimes we get some no's. Once we get all those responses or no responses or no's or whatever it is, we put it into, for me, I use an app called Road Warriors. That way I can just map them all out for efficiency so I can just be as quick as possible with my route, and then I'm done.
So then you're filming what, one day out of the week? And
yep.
Then you're, okay, so you try to jam it, a lot of them into one. So you're doing what, 7 in one day if possible?
Yeah, sometimes it's 6, sometimes it's 5. It just depends on what I have and like what's worth it. Like I'm not going to force it and do some just to get that 7 or 6. You know, I'm okay skipping a day here or there, but also, it depends. I may have appointments, you know, later that week in that city. So that way I'll do like 2 one day, 3 another day, you know, if I can break it up because I know I'm going to be out in Oakland or Berkeley or, you know, Richmond or whatever it is, then I'll kind of do that. So that way I don't have to do all those in one day if I know I'm going to be back out there later that week.
Nice. So what's the goal on how many videos are you trying to put out every week? What's the thought in that? And what makes sense if you're newer to this idea? Like, what is a good goal?
Yeah.
I guess tell us where you're at with your actual volume of these videos that you're putting out, and then what might be a good goal if somebody was newer and wanting to try this strategy?
Yeah. So TikTok, I shoot for 6 to 7. I guess more realistically 5 to 7, just because it doesn't always happen. And Instagram is 1 a week is what I do. I have been pretty inconsistent with YouTube, just kind of out of laziness and really just out of being busy, even though I could easily just throw those up on there or have a VA do it or whatever the case is. But I would say if someone's new or starting or getting into it, just do what you know you're going to be able to stay consistent with. If you're going to go do 7 1 week, 1 another week, 2 another week, 4 another week, it's like that's not, I don't think the platform will reward you as much. I know for sure that if I skip a week, if I'm on vacation or if I'm just too damn busy and I just couldn't make it work, which has happened plenty of times, algorithm kind of slaps me on the wrist a little bit, you know, the following week, right? Numbers are down a little bit, things like that. So I would just say, like, it doesn't have to be 7 a week. It doesn't have to be 6 a week. Sometimes it gets super overwhelming to try and keep up with that. But for me, it's like, it's one of those things where it consistently brings me business. So it's easier and motivating for me to kind of keep up with it, because I know I don't want to, you know, I don't want to stop that thing until eventually I built up a good enough book of business to maybe where I don't have to do that. You know, I'm always testing different things. Right now, I'm kind of been building out doing shooting some videos for a different style for YouTube. Since I've built a good following on both Instagram and TikTok, I think there's a big opportunity over there. So I think always having those kind of ideas in the back of your mind and not just getting stuck in that one thing is good. Of course, focusing and honing in on that one thing obviously brings some great results, but algorithms can change, platforms can change. So you always, I think, want to have those backup plans in place as well.
Are you doing a different style of video for Instagram versus TikTok?
I'm not. One thing that's working really well is the 3-minute walkthroughs on Instagram, because Instagram rolled out from 1.5-minute reels all the way up to 3 minutes now. Same thing with YouTube Shorts. They went from 1.5 to now 3 minutes. So a lot of the times, if I can get it done within that time frame, I'll just do a 3-minute walkthrough, post the same one on TikTok, post the same one on Instagram, post the same one on YouTube Shorts.
Dang, I like that, man.
Yeah.
I like that you're not having to do different things. Do you find that you're finally able to get some engagement on Instagram, man? Like, what's the differences between the two? Because I've heard a million different things, right? Where you Instagram is more about that hook in the beginning and like capturing their attention. What's the thought on, I guess, initial hook and why they're tuning in for this 3-minute video? What's the thought on that?
I don't know. I think what I've found is that generally for me, at least, when something does well on one platform, it's going to do well on the other. If I have a TikTok video that it's 3 minutes long and it blew up, it got, you know, over 1 million views, it's going to do well on Instagram too, and vice versa.
Gotcha.
So I don't really have like a formula or a science to it of why those are working well. I think one thing that does work is the second a new platform rolls something out, it's important to utilize it, because they want people to use it. You know, they had this whole team that they hired to put together to push this thing. And their goal is to compete and keep up with the other platform that is doing long form content as well.
Yeah. What's something on that same note, right? Like, what's something that we should be looking out for on either Instagram or TikTok that you've seen coming up maybe for 26? Is there anything that you've seen?
I think TikTok lives, I would say they're rolling out some new feature where, like, I don't know. It was like something I saw about like being able to sell like on live or something like that. Instagram, other than the 3-minute reels, I don't really know what else is happening. People say that like if you edit your videos on Edits, you know, Instagram's version of CapCut, right. It'll get pushed more. I don't see that to be true, because I still use CapCut in my walkthrough videos. Like I don't think I've had a walkthrough video under 100,000 views on Instagram.
Wow.
Every time using CapCut. So
I know TikTok will give you like some age ranges and stuff of people who are like watching your content. Give us some idea of like what's the average ages that you guys are seeing for the people who are engaging in your content.
Yeah, I think for TikTok, the highest for me is 25 to 34. Then the next is 35 to 44. And then after that is going to be 18 to 24. And then the lowest is 55 and up. But I don't think I've ever had anybody younger than 30 reach out to me. And I've had women well in their 60s reach out from TikTok. So that's funny, because I was on a call with a buddy of mine who does YouTube and was just so not in the realm of TikTok, which is very normal, especially in the real estate industry. He was so shocked that there was that age range of people reaching out. And he does great business on YouTube, but he's in Florida. So I just told him, I was like, man, just look at TikTok in your area and see what it looks like.
Yeah, for sure. So how are they reaching out to you on TikTok, man? What does that look like? If they're interested, how are they directly reaching out? Is it through Instagram, or what's the reach out look like?
Instagram has picked up a lot within outreach. It's funny, because when I get on these calls, I always just assume it's TikTok. But then, you know, some of these couples would be like, oh, no, we've been following you on Instagram for a while. We always send each other your videos. I have a link in my bios on both Instagram and TikTok. And for the most part, I'd say about 75% of people will click that, fill out the form. And then that form gets sent into my CRM. And then a booking link gets sent to them from there. That's the most common way. The next most common way is people will DM, and then I'll send them that link and tell them, or hey, go hit that link in my bio. Or some people will comment something that catches my eye, like, hey, I'm coming to the area to check out homes. And I'm, you know, I was like, hey, send me a DM. We work the area regularly. So it's kind of like, almost like it is in YouTube in a sense too, where, you know, you're either going to get direct reach outs, you're going to get people that comment, or you're going to get people that DM, which hopefully YouTube rolls out a DM feature here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's a tough part about YouTube. You hear that issue a lot, for sure, with all these different YouTube people that I chat with. But so when you send them the form, what is that form like? Does it take them off site? Does it take them to your website? What does that take them to?
It does take them off site. It just takes them to that site that's a dedicated form. It's 9 questions. I have 2 different forms. It's I want to buy a home or I want to sell my home. And it's really simple, you know, just really basic questions that's asked, because I think you don't want to overwhelm somebody with too many questions. So keeping it simple to those 9 questions, it's easy for people to fill out. They know exactly what questions they have to answer. They hit that button and then it's auto text and email from there that's sent to them, so that way they are responded to in a timely manner, and then they can book their appointment at their leisure.
Gotcha. And you're booking that through what, Zoom? Like it's a Zoom meeting first, or what does the meeting look like?
Yeah. So if I have a question on that questionnaire that says, are you pre-approved? If they're not pre-approved, I'm just going to start with a 15-minute intro call. If it's a seller lead, I'm just going to start with a 15-minute intro call. If they are pre-approved, I'm going to go right into a buyer's consultation call with them. That way it's, you know, if they've already taken those steps and they're that much more ready, I'd rather just kind of just take them through that whole process and really, really educate them so that that way they're even more committed, you know, as well, if I've spent that time with them.
Nice. Give us an idea of lead flow as well on this thing, man. Like, what does that look like for you? I know TikTok has really been blowing up for you, but what does the lead flow look like for you right now?
Yeah, so I'd say it's still about probably 70% TikTok and 30% Instagram. As far as lead flow, it's all over the place. You know, there could be a week where I get nothing. There could be a week where I get four. There could be a week where I get five or two or one. It's been surprisingly busy to the end of this year. I think just people, you know, want to get ready and kind of gear up for that next year. So yeah, it's hard to track. I think I probably could go back and look at each month of when they've came in and then kind of have a better answer though, as far as like being off the top of my head.
And then also like as a percentage of your business, like what would you say TikTok, Instagram, like as far as percentages of your total business look like?
Yeah, I'd say now this year was probably about half of my business. And then the other half is coming from referrals, past client referrals, agent to agent referrals, just sphere referrals, even people that I don't even have a relationship, you know, sometimes will refer. So half of it, I'd say this year was social media.
So half social media, half agent to agent referrals, yeah. Or just referrals from past clients.
Yep.
And that's what I think is important for agents to grab too is, you know, you're seeing what Roland's doing and you're like, man, this guy's killing it with TikTok and Instagram and all these other things. And I certainly like agents to see the new things and all the things that they should try or should implement in their business, but not to forget that a large portion of your business is 50% of your business coming from the referrals and the reach outs and the things that you're doing like with your past clients, man. So I think that's super important for agents to grab and not miss that as a part of it and get excited about doing TikTok, but forget about doing the whole reach outs and all the other things that you need to do. Because you still got to be a realtor, right? I mean, you're doing all these amazing things, but you know, you still got to do all the other activities that end up in sales for you.
You know, at the end of the day, I think the referrals come from just doing a great job, right? It's like once you get them, you know, under contract, you go through the process with them. You know, you can't just do all social media and just not do the rest. I mean, of course, there's some people and bigger agents that are really good at marketing and lead generation. They can pass those off to their team members and things like that. I'm not there yet, but even now I have a hard time kind of letting go or even imagining passing off a client that reached out to someone else and not working with me directly. You know, that is the goal eventually. And I think it's all just about how you set it up. But I think what people do forget about social media as well is gives you way more bats, gives you incredible opportunities. But also it's one of those things where it helps so much with conversion. You know, even those people or those your sphere or people that follow you, you know, it's like I said, people that maybe who don't even know us will refer us, or the people that like haven't worked with us personally, but we have a personal relationship with them from a past life, a past job or whatever, and they're more inclined to go ahead and say, hey, you should hit up this guy, even though I've never worked with them directly. So referrals come from everywhere. And when you have that reach on social media, the conversion, it gets so much easier. It gets easier with the clients that have already reached out to you, gets easier with your friends, your family members, because they're seeing you all the time. So they're saying, oh, they're looking, oh, it looks good. It looks great. It looks great. It looks great. So then the first time that that opportunity comes up, it's so much easier for them to say your name.
So, man, one of the cores of our podcast is we really are for agents who are maybe struggling in their business right now, or maybe they're looking for a new opportunity. So on the podcast, I always like to ask everybody that we bring on, I like to ask them, hey, man, speak to an agent who may have had a tough 2025. Maybe they're looking for a little bit of a spark in 2026, man. What would you tell that agent that's struggling right now? And then we'll close it out.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, the most important thing is to find something that you're going to be passionate about and find something that you feel you can be consistent with. You know, when I got into the industry and when I've had my struggles with the industry, like I was mentioning, you know, in 2023 at the beginning of this video, really, really struggling, which was just 2 years ago, you know, really at the end of the day, it was just two and a half years ago. And you know, from that point, it's like, I was like, man, if I have to cold call, I'll get out of this industry. If I have to go call expireds or something, like, I just know I wouldn't last. So I really geared myself towards something that I knew I was going to be passionate about and what I would enjoy doing, you know, kind of over and over again. Some people, they're like, I could door knock all day, or I could pick up that phone all day and it doesn't bother me. But I wanted to do something that was just going to just suit me better. So I would say find that thing, you know, whether it's from somebody that you're following and you're like, man, I feel like I could do that in my market, or, you know, whatever the case is, find that thing and then get massively consistent with it. And if you're not, then that's on you. You know, at the end of the day, it just really depends, I think, how bad, you know, somebody wants it, because you see these people and so many different people within our brokers that are doing well. And it all just really came with not an insane amount of over planning, but just really staying consistent with it.
Yeah, man, dude, I am so fired up to see your success in this, man. 2.5 years and you've accumulated all these followers, man. You grew a massive TikTok channel. You grew a massive Instagram channel. You know, you're having all this success, dude, and just in 2.5 years and making a choice to just go all in on a certain thing. And it's fun to see how that has played out in your business, man. And I'm sure it's changed your life, man. I mean, it's put you in bigger rooms. It's put you on stages. It's put you in amazing places by just showing up, man, trying something new and trying to add value to people. So I love that, brother.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you having me on too. This is really awesome. And the fact that you do this for agents is, you probably don't get as much credit as deserved, but I know it, you know, if you don't get that praise, it's coming.
Yeah, brother. Look, that's the deal, man. Just like you, man. We're in the beginning phases, brother. We're just trying to add value, bring some unique people on the pod, man. Share their stories, share what's working for them, man. And hey, coming all the way from Louisiana to, you know, Northern California, brother, sharing some value, man. I'm sure people are gonna go check you out, see what you're doing, man. And look, maybe you've inspired some listener here on our pod to try some unique stuff on Instagram and TikTok, man. I hope that's the case, man. I hope people reach out and emulate what you're trying to do, man, for sure.
Definitely, man. I'm looking forward to sharing this and listening to the replay for sure.
Yeah, brother. Well, we're going to definitely put some ways that you can go follow what Roland's doing. We're going to put his TikTok link in the details of this pod. We're going to put his Instagram link over in the details of this pod, man. And I highly encourage you guys to check out what he's doing, man. Because when I went to REVB this past year, man, I was not expecting to hear this strategy. And that was one of the best strategies that I heard, in my opinion, this year, as far as watching what you and Matt were also putting out. And when you guys were on the stage talking about that, man, I think everybody in the room, our jaws just hit the floor and saying, man, like, what a simple strategy, what a actionable strategy that it is. Just seeing you guys crushing it, man. We're totally cheering from you. And I'm so excited also that we're at the same company as well, just trying to do innovative things, man, to try to, you know, help agents. And look, how cool is it to be at a company too, to be able to say, like, bro, like, I will give you the exact playbook, dude. Like, I'm not holding nothing back. Here's exactly what I'm doing, man. I'm not hiding it. I'm not just keeping it for myself and sheltering it, dude. Like, just giving it away, man, is hugely valuable. So I appreciate you being like that, man. And it means a lot that you're able to share what you share and give us the exact playbook for sure.
100%, man. I appreciate that. That's so cool to hear.
Yeah, man, absolutely, brother. Totally cheering for you guys, and eventually you'll start seeing a lot more people, man, emulating that style. You know, you guys are innovators, and it's fun to see that crushing for you guys. So, highly encourage you guys, go reach out to Roland, man, see what he's doing, dude. Send this podcast over to somebody who may be digging TikTok tours or maybe looking for a little way that they can grow their Instagram channels, man. So highly recommend that you share this episode with a friend. This is something that they can go and take action on right now. So we launch a brand new audio version of this podcast every Monday morning at 5 a.m. on all our major audio platforms. So I encourage you guys to go check us out and give us a great review. So Roland, thank you again, my brother, for being a part of the pod.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
All right, guys. Well, I hope that you're enjoying the content. I hope you're enjoying what we're putting down every week. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.